I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Very excited. I have a great guest with me today, Trent Wolovec. He's the Chief Commercial Director at Jushi. Trent, great to have you on the show.
Good afternoon, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on as well.
Absolutely. For everyone who's listening now and tuning in, Trent's actually been in the cannabis space for quite a while, longer than most people. He was the founder of Urban Earth. He was the chief operating officer at American Cannabis Company. And as I mentioned today, he's over at Jushi. You know, Trent, I think before we get started, I'd love to hear from you, at least since you've been kind of an OG in the space. Like, what was it that got you into cannabis back in the day?
Yeah, it was a long, interesting story. I'll keep it pretty brief, but, you know, always had the appetite to be an entrepreneur. I was in finance out of college. That's what I studied in college. And my cousin, she had moved out to Colorado. We're both originally from Ohio in the early 2000s. And she roped me into cannabis as some of the laws were changing out here in Colorado on the medical side. You weren't allowed to be an outside resident and own equity in a cannabis business. So that opened an opportunity to make a silent investment with her. You know, took that opportunity, kind of dipped my toe in, got to start watching how the industry was progressing here in Colorado, and ended up moving out here right before the ballot initiative passed to allow adult use, and ended up inventing a child resistant exit bag for the launch of adult use here in Colorado. Helped manage a store that we flipped on 1114, and got sucked into the industry from there.
Amazing. Now, you guys, at least on the Jushi side, you guys have been kind of on a tear. I know recently you guys just opened your 33rd store. You guys have been really expanding across the country. So, you know, I'd love to hear a little bit about maybe some of the brands and, you know, where your kind of footprint is from a retail location perspective. I know you guys are also growing in Nevada. So talk to us as far as, you know, the growth there.
Yeah, you know, we as Jushi were a little bit later into the game, if you will, from an MSO perspective, a foundation perspective, versus, you know, a lot of the folks that are out there that have won licenses and built their business through, you know, that the application process and some M&A. You know, we've been strictly focused on an M&A front. We've won some licenses, but a lot of our growth and our portfolio is done through M&A. And so, you know, in early 2018, when Jushi was founded, you know, we kind of took the stance of retail really leading the charge from a strategy perspective. Not a lot of as much CapEx, I should say, a lot shorter lead time versus, you know, growing a cultivation and or manufacturing facility. And so, we could really wrap our heads around that. Also, having distribution touch points with patients and or customers was just another thing that I've seen be very valuable here in a market like Colorado. That's a little bit more of a mature adult use state versus, say, Pennsylvania, where there, you know, was limited licenses medical standpoint. And so that's kind of held true as the proper strategy, and then backing into a upward supply chain with a grower processor. So that's kind of been our high level strategy. You know, we've done and continue to do analysis. We're you know, finance deal guys with, you know, now a lot of operational experience. We've brought in cannabis people. We've brought in people that have scaled businesses, because that's, you know, where we're at right now as an industry. And so being able to marry those two kind of operational excellence, both from a scaled perspective, but also a cannabis perspective, I think is super unique, both on the retail side and the growth, you know, the grower processor side. And so being able to look at, understand, and kind of see where those markets are going, is something we've done extremely well at Jushi. You know, we nailed Pennsylvania. We're nailing, you know, Virginia. You know, those are two of our core markets, with Illinois being in there, obviously, as well. And then having a lot of growth on the back of those two states as we transition from a medical program to adult use. You know, Jushi's position to be one of the highest growth MSOs coming over the next, you know, 12 to 24 to 36 months. And so being able to lead from that perspective is unique. And then as we've scaled the business, bolting on acquisitions, like you mentioned, in Nevada and in Massachusetts, as those markets, you know, kind of transition from a early stage adult use to a more mature adult use market, and scaling there is something that, you know, we as the business have been able to kind of now leverage what we've built and what we've learned in these other markets. So, you know, really exciting from a growth perspective, adding EBITDA, adding revenue at the right price and at the right deal structure, that's, you know, going to garner big accretive value for our shareholders. Because, you know, what's different about Jushi than a lot of the other MSOs is, you know, the founders and the, you know, early management team, we all have real capital into this business. We don't have penny warrants. You know, we've never bought cheap stock. And so we have real cash in the business. And so on a risk adjusted basis, we will always be one of, if not the best return on capitals, because it's our money, quite frankly. So that's a very different calculus than a lot of the other boom or bust CEOs in the industry, I'd say.
Awesome. Good round out there. Trent, so, you know, we have quite a few people that tune into this show, and obviously, you know, very, very dominated by the cannabis space. But we also have a lot of people who tune in because they're trying to learn about the industry and understand how each MSO kind of differentiates themselves. And so, you know, I think for you guys at Jushi, you know, you have so many different brands within the brand, right? So, you know, everything from, you know, Nira to Tasteology and the Bank. Could you maybe give us kind of a very quick abridged version of, like, what is the difference between the products and how do you guys kind of, you know, push those products out? Are they focused on different markets and verticals? Are they in all of your stores? Like, how does it work?
Yeah. So we kind of run, I think, a very interesting, you know, book of brands from a products perspective. We also have our, you know, retail brand Beyond Hello, which is the storefront. However, you know, based on my experience in a state like Colorado, again, being able to delineate the retail storefront brand versus the products brand is super important from a patient or consumer perspective. And so on the product side, we really, you know, view categories in kind of like a five different buckets. And so you have your AB bud that's, you know, high quality indoor that'll be packaged into eights. That's the Bank. And so that's our in-house flower brand. And then you also have a value flower brand called Sachet, which is, you know, your fine flower and fine grind for, you know, larger purchases at a, you know, a lower cost point or price point, I should say, for patients or consumers. And then we have the Lab, which is all of our, you know, vaporization concentrated products, Tasteology, as you alluded to, as our infused products. And then Nira, which is our a little bit more medical centric, I'd say, products that, you know, we've developed with, you know, an MD up out of Buffalo, from one of the larger neurological institutes in the country. So, you know, really looking at that and being able to push out a portfolio of brands, both through our third party partners, vendors, but also through our own distribution channel and in our own stores. And so, having that flexibility and being able to build those brand stories around, you know, the product standardization, the quality and the price point, and having those different brands is something that's, you know, super imperative as the industry continues to grow and mature.
Awesome. Now, quick question for you as far as, you know, obviously, you know, being in the space now for quite some time, did you ever think going back to, you know, 2014, we would be where we are today in 2022? Obviously, I feel like, you know, through COVID, there was rapid legalization that happened. You know, I'm in New York, so the Northeast kind of just, you know, lit up on fire, you know, to go legal. And it seems that most Americans today are just, you know, they look at cannabis now as, you know, medicine, wellness. I mean, obviously you have the recreational side too, but a lot of people are using it for relaxing and sleeping and muscle pain. And did you kind of think it would accelerate this fast? Were you surprised? Like, how do you kind of feel like the state of affairs right now?
Yeah, I think the social acceptance of cannabis over the last 8 years has been pretty impressive. I remember when I would, you know, be flying to all these new states and helping stand up programs and helping people win licenses. You know, I still had to whisper a little bit on the airplane when somebody asked, you know, what I did, or I just totally avoided saying what I did. Yeah. That's totally changed now. It's cool to talk about it, you know, on the airplane to the to travelers and you know, within the community. You know, that's been really exciting. I think, you know, from an educational perspective or just a consumer perspective, we're still very much in the early stages of consumption and understanding what the plant will be able to do. I always go back to, I come out of, you know, pharma and so distribution, and I worked at Cardinal Health before I got into the cannabis industry. You know, most of modern medicine from a pain perspective is derived from, you know, the opium plant that has like four or five molecules within that plant. Cannabis has, you know, well north of 120 plus, and we're still figuring it out, quite frankly. And so just if you extrapolate that to be able to understand, you know, what the different formulations can be around each individual cannabinoid or a grouping of cannabinoids plus all the terpenes, we still have a long, long way to go from that perspective. And so you look, cannabis is going to be a major disruptor as we continue to, you know, progress the acceptance and studying and understanding of what it can be. I think the most exciting thing is, you know, you're going to view it as, you know, an over-the-counter option for people that want to use it from a medicinal perspective, relief, anxiety, sleep, you name it, it's down the list. But also, it's great to get high and relax. It sure beats getting really drunk and having all those effects as well.
No hangover.
And, you know, for me, you know, not having the additional calorie intake is also a plus. You know, I got to keep the six pack, you know, in check. So
there you go.
I wish, but you know, it's just a, you know, a much better option for people. And look, people that are over the age of 21 that are adults can make the decision on what they want to put in their body. And, you know, that's what we want to continue to educate and promote around. And so, you know, unfortunately, right now, there's a lot of bad actors and a large illicit market and a lot of product that is out there and confusing people that is mislabeled or not tested. And so it's become very much a public safety thing because they've kind of front run regulations of a regulated market. And, you know, people are dragging their feet. States are dragging their feet. And so the whole idea of the illicit market and decriminalization, you know, has really, you know, been great to see, but the regulators and the legislators are not keeping up with how fast it's progressing. And so I think, you know, that's going to be a big thing over the next, you know, 6, 12, 18 months, you know, as these states implement a commercial program both medically and or adult use. Our biggest competitor is not, you know, Veranos or the Trulieves or the GTIs or the Terrasens, or I can, you know, keep going down the list. You know, I'm competing against somebody that's you know, racing me in a 40-yard dash, and they're starting 20 yards ahead of me with the illicit market. No taxes, no third-party testing, so on and so forth. And so I think, you know, as the industry continues to mature, you know, that's our biggest risk in my mind, is making sure that we ensure that public safety, so people, consumers, don't get confused on, you know, what is cannabis and have a bad experience because they, you know, get some bunk product from Joey on the corner.
Now, as far as your, you know, distribution across the country, you know, obviously you guys have stores operating in California, you're in Mass, you're in Ohio, you're in Virginia, Pennsylvania, Illinois. Do you guys see any type of interesting trends? Meaning, hey, people in Massachusetts are actually, you know, buying more of a certain brand than, let's just say, Illinois. Like, are there anything that you can share with us on, like, hey, actually, you know what? Massachusetts loves edibles, right? Illinois loves flower. Like, is there any type of insight there?
Yeah, it's you know, I always laugh because if you go back and listen to, you know, my predictions in like 2016, 2017, I was one of the believers that, you know, concentrates and vapes, you know, we're going to take over the market. And you were looking at like 70-30 flower to other products back then. I thought that was just going to totally flip to like 30% flower, 70% other. It's kind of leveled out, quite frankly, at like 55-45. Flower is still king, quite frankly. And I don't think it is going anywhere, especially as, you know, we as the regulated industry scale our indoor flower production, get better genetics and continue to refine that process. And so people smoke flower everywhere. And, you know, pre-rolls and eights and ounces and shake and, you know, popcorn and you name it, you know, how they get it is different, but flower is still king. And that's pretty universal across, all of our markets. You know, I think, you know, California is its own beast. So I'll set that one aside. But you're seeing good flower diversity and rotation of genetics is something that's imperative. The consumer and or patient still cares about one thing and two things and two things only: price point and potency. They quite frankly don't really care about brand too much. Again, it's got to be good standardized product, but I think you're still seeing that consumer trend hold strong, and I think you will for, you know, the next couple of years. I don't think that will last forever, but it's going to be something that's prevalent for quite some time, in my opinion. So I've always found that to be super interesting, that flower is kind of holding strong. From a purchasing perspective. Also, I'd throw out there, on the infused product side, you know, gummies are king, are kings as well. Not a lot of other delivery methods that you know are strong enough to make it commercially viable. So I think, you know, a lot of these new products or beverages or, you know, are going to be tough from a shelf space perspective and sales perspective moving forward. I think we've figured out what the delivery methods are. I think the future of cannabis is going to be around, you know, product formulations and, you know, what and how the cannabinoids are, you know, mixed and formulated with the terpenes. I think that's the future versus, you know, some new delivery method that's going to come to market.
Awesome. Well, Trent, I know you've got a meeting to run to, so I really appreciate you coming on the show and giving us a little bit of insight, and, you know, keep up all the amazing work. And you guys are obviously a fantastic brand, and you know, I love working with a lot of your coworkers. So appreciate you coming on, and thanks again.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too, Trent. Take care.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.